Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin third quarter 2013 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DiaSorin Quarter 3 Results Conference Call. I will make a few introductory comments to the main elements of the business, and then Pierluigi De Angelis, our CFO, will go through the financials. First of all, due to the heavy impact of Forex on this quarter results, I will comment revenues at constant exchange rate so that we can better appreciate how business is going. Revenues in quarter three grew 3.6%, accelerating versus previous quarters. This is the result of a strong growth of our Clea X vitamin D business, which recorded a 21% growth versus last year. Also, we have seen a slowdown of the decline of the vitamin D business, and we got these results despite a deterioration of the Murex business in the quarter, which is due to certain events that I will comment later on during the presentation. Now, let's start from the Clea X vitamin D business. We continue to see the success of our traditional product lines, mainly in the infectious disease and hepatitis clinical areas, where we have launched several new products last year, and now we start to reap the benefits in this quarter and going forward. However, it is worth mentioning that also in the new clinical areas, like hypertension and stool testing, where we have launched new products more recently, we are now seeing sales starting to materialize. This is very promising because these product lines will be the one that will continue to fuel growth in the coming months and quarters. As far as vitamin D is concerned, we continue to see year-on-year overall volume growth. In fact, in the 9 months year-to-date, volumes have grown around 5%. Price erosion has affected us strongly in the previous quarters, but as expected, it is softening out. In fact, if you recall, at constant exchange rate, vitamin D has declined 15% in Q1, 9% in Q2, and now 6% in quarter three. As far as Liaison placement is concerned, we continue to see the same positive trend as before, with more than 140 systems placed in the quarters. And this has been achieved in all the main geographies. It is noteworthy that in July we got all the donor screening assays approved in Brazil, and by year-end we expect to have them also approved in China. Again, these are strategic markets for us, where the market size for hepatitis and HIV assay is substantial. And we expect that because of the approval, in the next quarter, we will start seeing significant Liaison XL placements coming also from these two markets, on top of what we already see in the more established traditional geographies like Europe and the U.S. I would like to briefly comment on the revenues associated with the Murex business. Murex has been pivotal to allow DiaSorin to enter the hepatitis and HIV market with the Liaison XL. In fact, part of the know-how raw material that we got through this acquisition was used to develop our full hepatitis menu on the XL. And we already discussed previously that current and future success of the Clea X vitamin D business is strongly associated to these product lines. Along with Murex, we bought also an established customer base of ELISA products, some of which based in strategic countries like China and Brazil, some in secondary markets like Africa and Middle East. Contrary to previous expectation, we have not retained some of this business due to a combination of local political events, and Egypt is a very good example where we had substantial business before, and because of the current turmoil, the opportunity is not there any longer. Or we lost business because of margins consideration. So far, this has affected company revenues by 4 million euros in this year. It means that the sales of Murex products for the first 9 months is 4 million below what it was last year. We expect now that the Murex business will be more stable going forward, since the vast majority of the remaining business is based on solid markets. And on top of this, the company was also awarded recently with a major tender to supply all blood banks in Malaysia, and this will compensate in the next quarters business that was lost in 2013. Now, let's go back and comment revenues from a geographical point of view. Now, from a geographical point of view, we continue to see good growth in Europe, notwithstanding the difficult economic conditions and budget restrictions. And this is clearly linked to the growing install base of Liaison Excel and the success of this platform in Europe. In Asia and South America, we continue to experience double-digit growth, and the future looks even more promising due to the recent registration of new products, as previously discussed, and I'm referring to the Liaison Excel hepatitis and HIV products. In the U.S., vitamin D business deterioration is slowing down, as expected, and as we have discussed before, even if vitamin D testing volume is slightly decreasing in the big central labs where DiaSorin traditionally operates, and this is due to the availability now of more instruments of small footprint in a smaller account, and I'm referring to the 12,000 POLs that are present in the U.S. In the U.S., the rest of the Liaison business continues to grow rapidly. I believe in the quarter the growth was over 25% versus last year, and this is thanks to the availability of all the new products which were recently approved by the FDA. Let's now switch to molecular. We continue the effort to develop and launch new products. In quarter three, we launched the Toxoplasma molecular product on the Liaison AM platform. We expect by year-end to see around 50 systems installed with customers evaluating our technology. Now, last, before moving to the financials, I would like to make a brief comment to the press release about the collaboration with Roche. Consolidation of labs has been accelerating over the last 2 years, mainly driven by the necessity to increase efficiency in the way lab work is done. This is specifically true for all those countries where the lack of a strong private sector has allowed hospitals to build and manage a variety of mid-sized labs. This is very typical of certain European countries like Spain, like Italy, like France, and some in the Nordic. The new trend we have seen is that quite often consolidation of labs demands also redesign of space and introduction of sophisticated track system plus software solutions to obtain the operative savings labs are demanding. In this respect, more often now labs wants to select a unique vendor able to design and supply the vast majority of products rather than consolidating themselves offering from different vendors. It means that if before it was common practice for the big labs to go to the big vendor first, and then themselves they would go to the other vendors, putting together an offering made of mainstream and specialties, today we see a trend where the big labs want to have one company to talk to, and they are asking that company then to put together consortia to provide mainstream as well as specialties. In this respect, and only to supply these very large customers, we have agreed to cooperate with Roche Diagnostic, putting together their platform, which is the cobas 8100, and our Liaison XL platform. In this way, we will be able to provide customers the most complete product offering for immunoassay, spanning from the mainstream Roche products to all the specialties that we offer on the Liaison XL. We believe this will be a very attractive proposition for our customers, difficult to match by all the other competitors. Without getting into specifics and details of the agreement, which are of confidential nature, let me clarify one point that is very important. DiaSorin will continue to sell directly to those customers that will choose to connect the Liaison XL to the Roche system. And DiaSorin will be responsible for servicing its instrument. It means that we will put together an offer along with Roche Diagnostic, but once the offer has been accepted by the customer, we will be the one then selling products to the customer and servicing our instruments. To conclude, this deal provides an optimal solution to serve the consolidated market and will allow DiaSorin to focus on the remaining markets where the need of a full automation solution is not there. Now, Pierluigi will take you through all the financials, and then we're going to open up the Q&A session. Pierluigi.
Thank you, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Let's start having a look at the income statement. As already commented by Carlo, the third quarter and the first 9 months of the year were particularly affected by foreign exchange rate, which influenced negatively all the income statement. In particular, amongst the currency, we are exposed to the Australian dollar, the Brazilian reais, and South African rand. All these currencies registered a wide fluctuation against the euro, with a range that goes from 20% to 28% in the last quarter, and from 10 to 20% in the first 9 months of the year, as shown in the slide number 4. This had a negative effect on the third quarter revenues of 4 million euros and 6.5 million euros in the first 9 months of 2013. As far as revenues are concerned, we reported in the third quarter 104.2 million of euros. Without the negative effect, exchange rate effect, revenues would have totaled 108.2 million, representing an increase of 3.6 at constant exchange rate versus the third quarter of last year. Molecular business in the third quarter contributed for 7 million of euros to the total turnover. In the first 9 months, we reported 323.9 million euros of revenues that, without the negative effect of exchange rate, would have been 330.4 million euros, representing an increase of 1.6 at constant exchange rate compared with the first 9 months of last year. Molecular business in the first 9 months of this year contributed for 2.4 million of euros to the total turnover. The growth of our revenue both in Q3 and in the first 9 months of this year at constant exchange rate has been driven by the strong revenues of all our CLIA products, as Carlo mentioned, net of vitamin D and of our instrument and consumable sales. Now, let's go to give a look to gross margin of the group that in the third quarter summarized to 70.7 million of euros with an incidence of revenue of 67.8%, slightly down comparing the last year to the different geographical and product mix. If compared to the previous quarters of this year, our marginality is steady. In the first 9 months of this year, gross margin was equal to 222.6 million as a result, again, of the important growth of our Clea products. If we look at the operating expenses, they appear almost flat in the third quarter and slightly increasing in the first 9 months, mainly as a result of the cost incurred to support the launch of our new molecular business, as already discussed in the previous conference call of this year. Within the other operating expenses, we register a negative impact coming from the exchange rate fluctuation that was related to the intercompany commercial balance and that related to Reais, to Brazilian subsidiary, and that was equal to close to 800,000 euros in the quarter and almost 1.4 million in the 9 months. As a result of all that said, our reported EBITDA summarized to 38.6 million of euros in the third quarter and 122.5 million of euros in the first 9 months of this year. The negative impact of the exchange rate was of 2.1 million of euros in the third quarter and 3.4 million euros in the first 9 months. The operating expenses related to R&D and to the creation of a dedicated sales force for the molecular business influenced the EBITDA for 1.8 million of euros in the third quarter and 5.4 million of euros in the 9 months. As a consequence of this, the statutory EBITDA margin in the third quarter was equal to 37.1%, but 39% when excluding the molecular business, and in the 9 months 37.8 as reported, but 39.8 when excluding the molecular business. Let me also remind you that in the 9 months an additional negative impact of 0.7 million of euros was due to the introduction of the medical device taxes in the States market. As far as the taxation is concerned, in the third quarter we registered a lower tax rate due to different scheduling of dividends received by the group's parent company. The tax rate in the 9 months is almost flat when compared to last year. The net profit has been affected by the negative impact of unfavorable exchange rates on the income statement line items, as already commented, totalizing 20 million of euros in the third quarter and 61.1 million of euros in the first 9 months of the year. Now, moving to the balance sheet items, at September 30th, the net capital employed amounted to 311.4 million of euros, with a decrease of 6.4 million of euros when compared to the beginning of the year, mainly due to the decrease of the net working capital and of the fixed asset. As September the 30th, once again, DiaSorin registered a very solid net financial position, equal to 84.2 million of euros, with an improvement of 37 million of euros from the beginning of the year. Last but not least, we have been able to generate a free cash flow equal to 28.5 million of euros in the third quarter and 65.9 million of euros in the first 9 months. In view of our operating performance after September 30th, 2013, and taking into account that our strategy is working across all the products menu and geographic areas, we confirm our 2013 full year guidance of revenue growth rate between 2% and 4% at constant exchange rate. EBITDA in line with the absolute value of 2012 at constant exchange rate. Increase of our installed base of about 500 Liaison and Liaison XL system. Thank you very much for your attention, and if Carlo has nothing more to add, I would open the Q&A section.
Yep, operator, we can go ahead with the Q&A.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Romain Zana of Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. Two, if I may, the first one on the CLIA on the Liaison X Vitamin D. Given the ongoing pipeline, can we fairly expect sustainable similar double-digit growth on this franchise over, let's say, the next 2 years? The second question will be on the EBITDA guidance. Could you please give us an idea of the full year negative impact we should expect on the EBITDA from the Forex for the full year? That would be helpful. And maybe a third one, if I may, just regarding the partnership with Roche, should we expect the Liaison that will be connected to their workflow to generate a lower margin, or should it be similar to what you are currently selling to labs? Thank you.
Yes, Romain. Listen, I will take the questions. Let me start from a simple one. On the EBITDA level, we expect the negative impact to be between 5 and 6 million euros, give or take. But as you have seen, it's quite difficult to predict because the dollar all of a sudden in a few days really swinging from 137 to 133, and it does have an impact for us. But 5 to 6 million is what we should see by year end on the EBITDA level. As far as the sustainability of X Vitamin D, what I think I keep saying since many, many months is that you should look at the sustainability of growth of Diasorin from the output of the R&D. And I think now for 6-7 years in a row, we have been able, as a Swiss clock, to launch between six and eight products on average year on year on our Liaison platforms, and this will continue. So what we see today, as I mentioned during my initial introductory speech, is that we see growth which is driven by products that have been introduced in the previous 12 months. And the growth is coming from the hepatitis, the growth is coming from the HIV. And still to come, because as I said, as far as hepatitis and HIV, we just got approval in two very key strategic markets, China and Brazil. So next year, these product lines will contribute to the growth even more because of the viability of this very large market. Now, as far as then future growth, you need to look at products that have been launched now in 2013. And as you know, we have completed the stool panel. We now have 5 out of 6 products which are needed to be a player there. But we launched the hypertension product. So everything that we continue to launch is the one that fuels growth, because it goes into an existing growing install base from one side, so quick adoption, but also allow us to continue to install regularly between 400 and 500 systems, which is, again, what I said is this company is able to do year on year, and this has been true for many years now. So I am optimistic about the future of this of these of all the products on the Liaison XL. On top of that, and let me then move to the Roche deal. As I did comment before, I think that Diasoring had to face a challenge going forward because of this consolidation and because of the fact that we would not be able to talk directly to the customer without finding the right partner, because these very large labs consolidating, they don't want to talk to small players. And we had two venues. One was to decide not to partner with anybody and then go a la carte, as we say. Depending on the tender, we would select one partner. That would have been extremely complicated because, you know, you cannot be a friend with somebody in one tender and then be the enemy on the next. And so we decided to try to work with the company that we thought was best for us. And Roche is a very good company because on one side, even if it is a behemoth in size, it is quality driven, and this is not necessarily true product quality driven, and this is not necessarily true for some of the other large players, as we have discussed in the past and as we have seen for vitamin D. Second, Roche has a very large footprint in these labs, have a very significant market share today, and we believe that they will continue to be the primary choice of a lot of these labs going forward. Now, as, going back now to your question about margins, you should not be seeing effect on margins because, as I said, as far as the Roche deal is concerned, we will sell through Roche to the end-user customers our specialty products. And by definition, specialty products are the one where we get the very high margin. Second is not this deal, without again getting into the specifics of it, but it doesn't mean that Roche becomes an agent or distributor. Simply, once the deal is locked by Roche, we will then entertain a commercial discussion with the customer, and we will sell directly to the customer. So there is not going to be any effect on margins at all. I think I answered to all your questions.
Yeah, that's clear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, does the Roche deal free up any resource for you to devote to smaller customers, or do you really require the same level of resource to focus on them? Secondly, so I know it's a very small business, Molecular, but it looks like it declined a little year on year. Just wondering what's going on there and whether you still think you can do 5 million euros this year or not, because it's looking a bit more challenging than it did. And maybe you could just tell us a little bit more about what's going on there in terms of the pickup of your new tests. Thirdly, question I usually ask, but where are you in terms of launching new specialty CLIA tests in the United States? I think we're at 35 at the, was the update at Q2.
Okay. Let me start from the last one. I don't think we are at 35. We are at 40, over 40. Around 40, I think.
Excellent.
We got approval of the last one. And again, our path forward, as I said, is to get to around 50. Okay? If I just make a comment, a key decision for us as far as the U.S. is concerned is to decide whether we want to register with the FDA all the hepatitis in the HIV product. Today we don't have that approved. It's a very large market, but we believe that in order, and we're talking about probably 12 additional products between hepatitis, HIV, and hepatitis C. It is relatively expensive. It would take 2 years to do it. But because of the success we are seeing with the Liaison XL elsewhere and the hepatitis, we may decide to get there if we find the right partner to work with. And it's not a matter of the investment, which is necessary, which when we clearly sustain, is to guarantee that we can disseminate fast enough these products in the U.S. in the U.S. market. So we will work on that and make a final decision in the next couple of quarters. Now, as far as the Roche and small account, yes, that was exactly the purpose of the deal. It is very clear today that we enjoy a lot of success with the Liaison Excel in the mid-size accounts, and we got distracted by these very large deals before, where we were forced to participate either because we are in some of these consolidated labs or because the opportunity was vast. So going forward, we are going to leave these opportunities to the partner, which is much more equipped to do so, and then we are focusing all our people into the mid-size accounts, where today we believe there is a void and there is an opportunity by the Excel. As far as the molecular is concerned, I don't think it's necessarily a matter of decline. Is the fact that we have been cleaning some of the business that we have inherited with the acquisition, which was not strategic, honestly, to us. And I don't think that today we should be judging this business in terms of revenue, but we should judge this business in terms of placements and in terms of a positive feedback that we get vis-a-vis the technology. So this is why I mentioned that we would like to see 50 systems installed by year-end in the hands of customers and evaluating and working with our products, because what is very relevant about the molecular field as we speak is to get acceptance of the technology. Keep in mind, everybody knows PCR, and I'm sorry if I get too technical, but nobody knows LAMP. And this is key, to have some of the very important users adopting LAMP and promoting LAMP, and this is the initial effort that we are focusing our sales force to.
Okay, and two quick follow-ups. Firstly, on Roche, what happens in terms of the U.S. mega labs in the short term? Because I don't believe their systems are approved there yet. Well, let's address that first.
Listen, just to understand ourselves as far as definitions are concerned, we believe that the TREC systems as a solution for labs are good in laboratories that are doing anything between, let me say, 5 million to 12 million tests per year. Now, that's a sweet spot for these TREC systems, and this is where the majority of the TREC systems are intended to go. When you talk about LabCorp and Quest, you're talking about a different scale. And quite often, because of that, they are not able to, there is no automation today available to sustain the tens of millions of tests that comes through their sites every day, to a point that, surprisingly enough, if today you walk, as we did a month ago, into LabCorp, you would find a series of floor standing systems. I saw in front of me over 20 Liaison Excel in one site just doing vitamin D. So at that point, with these labs, there is no automation that can really fit their analytical need. So here we're talking about mid-size customers consolidating into, again, into 5 to 12 million tests per year, which is a different scale from the mega labs in the U.S.
So those labs are excluded, or the LabCorp is excluded from this deal, presumably, then, from what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, I don't think that LabCorp would never be able to sustain their volumes with any of these kind of automation that is to a point that if you take Sonic, for example, which is a good example, Sonic in Australia, they come to a point that they build their own automation systems, custom-made. And this is also true for Japan, for example. So these very unique large labs have their own solutions. And quite often, like in Solid, for example, they buy companies, engineering companies that design specifically for them automation.
Okay, my last question was, this time last year I think you had about just over 90 million euros of cash in the balance sheet and you announced a special dividend. This year you appear to have just over 90 million euros of cash in the balance sheet. What do you think you're doing with it?
I think, listen, as you know, we believe and we share this with our with the board of directors that we would like to invest to grow the business. But as we always done in the past, we are savvy investors. And so we want to buy targets that make sense for Diasorin without really, and add value without really wasting money of the shareholders. So, and we were continuously looking into opportunities. If we are not going to find opportunities, then I think the board of directors is going to make a decision on how to distribute some of the excess cash, as we have done in the last 2 years.
So why haven't you reached that decision this year yet, given that you appear to have reached it this time last year?
Martin, you know that I cannot answer to this question. And by the way, it's not a quiet question that should be addressed to me. It's more board of directors and then the General Assembly.
Okay, I'll go back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin.
The next question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead. Mr. Vecchio, your line is open.
Oh, yes, good afternoon. Two questions from my side. The first one, if you can expand a little bit more on the Roche agreement, in particular about the timing of the sales, when you believe you're going to start to book sales and which kind of ramp up you expect. And also, if you can give an idea of how many machines you believe you're going to place. Second question is on the Forex, if you can quantify the full year impact on revenues. Thanks.
Listen, let's start from the Forex, which is a simple one. I think that year to date, well, September, 9 months is 6.5 million. And I think that now in the every month will count because of the swing that in the dollar between last year and this year. So if I had to guess, I would say anything between 8 to 9 million. But let's stay tuned and see what the dollar does. We know what the Riyadh is doing. Let's see what the dollar does. As far as Roche timing, I'm not sure that I can really comment much because of the confidential nature of the agreement. However, what I can say that today we will start with the research and the development activities which are necessary to validate the connectivity of the Liaison XL to the Roche platform. And that will take some time, so I expect that the full program should be set in place after the summer of next year, give or take. But stay tuned, because this is in the hands of us, and but there is also Roche on the other side, so we are working together to set up all the timelines. As far as the opportunity and quantify the opportunity, I don't think that I can go there. I can give you some numbers which are public. I think everybody expects that by 5 years from now there will be roughly 1,000 to 1,200 so-called labs which are the right size for this for our offering. And I believe that there could be an opportunity to reach a significant portion of these labs with Roche as a partner. But everything else, really, at this stage, I cannot comment on.
Thank you very much, Carlo. Very clear.
The next question is from Matthew Chabert of Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, if I may. First one, maybe to follow up on the pipeline. Any chance you could give us some further details on the test you intend to launch next year, especially in CLIA X vitamin D? And second one, on XL, could you maybe give us some color on the geographic split of the placement and the latest trend for this year, for example? Thank you.
Listen, as far as the pipeline is concerned for next year, I think that there is a key product for us, which is the 125 vitamin D. And it is a very unique assay. There is nobody that has an assay available like the one that we have designed. We expect launch to happen in April of 2014. The reason that it is very key is that today 125 vitamin D is done in the same lab that are doing vitamin D. It's done with a very, very cumbersome RIA, radioactive methodology, and it does represent in generally between 10 and 15% of the total vitamin D volume. So for us it's key because we have an accessible customer base today, all vitamin D customers that can adopt this immediately, but it is also very important to lock that base in for the same reason. So 125 vitamin D for me is a key product, and notwithstanding the reimbursement for this product is very high. Just to give you some numbers, some colors to this, in the U.S. reimbursement is $56. The reimbursement for vitamin D is $41. So it means that this product not only will be strategic for us, but also will be sold at a very high price. Then we have, as a follow-up, we will complete our stool assays with a couple of products. One is a virus that we're still missing, a rotavirus, and then we have a good product which is called CalProtectin, which again is done in stool, and it would be unique in the space, and we again is a hook that we intend to use in order to sell all the rest of the menu. Now, if we go to now your Excel, the Excel install base, today we have 53% of the install base in Europe. We have North America. North America is, around 10-15% of the install base. Then the rest is spread over different geographies where the number today is very limited still because it's been just launched is China, where I think we have no more than 10 systems because we just got the approval of the system and the full menu. And Brazil, well, again, we have no more than 20 systems. So we believe that on top of what we've been traditionally being able to place in the past, big wave of placements will come starting next year from these two emerging markets, Brazil and China.
Thank you very much, Carlo. Very, very helpful.
The next question is from Peter Welford of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yes, thank you for taking my questions. Just a couple on the Roche deal and then one on molecular diagnostics. Firstly, just coming back to the Roche deal, I wonder if are the terms within the contract with regards to what new tests each company is able to put onto their platforms as part of the deal. So are there certain restrictions as to what you can supply to the customer on your Excel through the Roche collaboration? And also, could you give us an update? I think you said there were 5,000 labs that you think meet the criteria for the collaboration at the moment. I think I may have got that number wrong. Could you just, I guess, describe how that number's changed over the last year, I guess, to give us some sort of idea, I guess, of the sort of growth rate for those number of labs that that meet the criteria of the Roche collaboration? And then secondly, on molecular diagnostics, as I said, while the launches on the CLIA have been, you know, very impressive during the course of the year, I think I'm right in saying there's only two molecular diagnostics that are currently approved, with a few more planned by year end. I guess, can you give us an update on perhaps what has been the limiting factor in Europe that's perhaps slowed the rollout of molecular diagnostics relative to the initial plans you presented, I guess, 18 months or so ago? Thank you.
Okay, let me start with Roche. I don't think I can answer to the question because, again, we get into the confidential nature of the agreement. But I think that if you just check menu availability on the Cobas 8100, current availability, and you check what's available on the Excel, you see immediately which are the assays that are different between the two platforms, which is a quite significant number. And these are going to be the assays that will become unique in terms of allowing us and the partner Roche to be different from competition. In terms of labs, no, it's not 5,000. I think also in the press release we specified is around 1,000 labs that consolidated labs that will. Believe that we believe will be created in the next 5 years. Just to give you a number, each lab probably would represent anything between 1.5 to 2.5 million euros per year of turnover that is open up. Is a combination of all the product offered by us and Roche. So it's a fairly significant market opportunity when one of these labs is created and they tender the business. Now let's talk about molecular. We have four products which have been released so far, and I think that the difference between the initial expectations and what we have seen is that the manufacturing cycle and the validation for some of these products is longer than we expected, which means that if traditionally we know very well what it takes to complete all the validation procedure for an immunoassay, we are learning what it takes to do it with a molecular product. Allow me to say that we are new to this space, and we are learning what it means to play in the molecular through these products. So I think that we adjusted from the initial experience we had, and now the rollout is more predictable vis-a-vis availability of the new products.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Mr. De Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you, operator. Take care. Bye-bye.